Today is May 8th, which means that wedding season is right around the corner. The end of this month, we'll kick off the five-month-long time period in which most people, at least in the Midwest anyways, where it's warm, and most people will look to get married. Now, maybe some of you will be going to some of these weddings this summer, and if you do, I want you to keep your eyes open for one thing in particular. I noticed it at a wedding that I attended recently. There was the groom standing up front, nervously shaking as he was standing there in front of everyone. And as every bridesmaid and groomsman walked by, he smiled and nodded at them. But his eyes kept darting towards the back of the sanctuary, because what he was waiting for was his bride-to-be to finally step out in all of her beauty and come walking towards him. And then the music changed. The music changed and everyone turned around and the bride walked in, beautiful in every way. And if you were watching the groom, at this point, his face lit up. Joy spread across his face. Pride that only a groom looking at his bride can have. Now with this picture in mind, I'll read the words from Isaiah chapter 62, where Isaiah describes God's love in much the same way. It's Isaiah 62, verses 3 through 5. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, My delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. So that look of pride and joy that the groom had as he looked at his bride, did you know that that is exactly the same way that God sees you? Now, maybe you don't believe that. Maybe, actually, as you think about God looking down at you, you're kind of scared of what he sees. Maybe as you think about this, you wonder just how disappointed God is when he looks at you. As we're all sitting here this morning and we're thinking about those sins that weigh heavily upon our hearts, maybe you start to think, well, sure, God, of course, he rejoices in everyone else in here. But he can't possibly rejoice over me. No, he has to be disappointed in me. These are pretty common thoughts, and understandably so. After all, in our text, in verse 4, it describes us as being the bride that was called forsaken, was called desolate. It's a description that you would only apply to an unfaithful bride, to a cheating spouse. And this is the way that we are in our marriage with God. Constantly leaving God for other men, other women, every single day. So in this marriage between God and man, we have the faithful God, the faithful groom, and the unfaithful, cheating bride, you and I. And so that thought remains. How could God possibly rejoice over me? No, maybe he rejoices over everyone else in here, but there's no way he would ever rejoice in me. Well, if those are the thoughts that you're having this morning, I want you to listen again closely as I read select verses from our text again. And know that these promises of God do apply to you in Christ. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, but you shall be called, My delight is in her, for the Lord delights in you. For as the bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. How is that possible? How is it that when God looks at us, he rejoices rather than becoming disappointed? How is it that he doesn't just see our complete rotten rags of our sins? Well, it's only possible through Christ. Because when he looks at you, he doesn't see an unfaithful bride. He sees the perfect faithfulness of his Son. When he looks at you, he sees the beautiful wedding dress of Christ's blood and righteousness. Because Christ took your place on the cross, now you take Christ's place in God's eyes. Through Jesus, God does indeed rejoice over you. Only in Jesus is this possible, and in Jesus, it's certain to be true of you. Now notice that picturesque language at the beginning of the text. It says that we are a crown of beauty in the hand of God. We are God's crown sitting in His hand so that He can admire it. So that He can hold it out for the entire world to see and say, yes, this is my beautiful bride. I am proud of loving this person. What a wonderful image that is. Proverbs 12 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. And in the same way, you are God's most excellent treasure. You are His prized possession. But now, as God's bride, what if we continue to remain faithless? What if at some point God says, enough, I need to divorce this woman because she's been cheating on me. She's been unfaithful in our marriage. Well, as Paul writes to Timothy, if we are faithless, God remains faithful. God always remains true to His promises to you through Christ Jesus. And so, this promise remains true, that God rejoices in you. So not many other areas of life can we ever recreate that joy and pride that is experienced as when a groom first looks at his bride as she's walking down the aisle. And when you go to weddings this summer, as the bride starts to walk down, I want you to look at the groom and see his face and see the reaction there. And know, yes, God rejoices over me. We'll conclude our chapel worship this morning by singing hymn 779, verses 1 through 3. 779, 1 through 3.